We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here with the old man Andreas Hill, coming at you guys right after Francis Ngannou versus Anthony Joshua just ended, I don't know, Dre, just a couple minutes ago. And we're going to get immediate reaction to that, talk everything in boxing. Of course, if you guys aren't on Patreon yet, go. I don't know what you're waiting for. Just had multiple people sign up since yesterday's show. So shout out to everyone who did that. You guys know who you are. Got a really dope hip hop episode yesterday. And again, we're doing giveaways, tons of shit on the Patreon. Make sure you guys get over there. Join the Corner Club. Show support for your boys. We really appreciate it. Now that that's out of the way, it's all boxing time. How shocked are you? And we'll get to all the other BS, the Ryan Garcias, everything else. How shocked are you with the result of Anthony Joshua versus Francis Ngannou? Don't give me nothing.
I'm not shocked at all. I told you this was going to happen. I said it from the beginning. Now, the only thing that surprised me is it happened so quick. I thought Francis would have hung around a little bit longer. The body's still warm as we're talking about this. As the casket is carrying Francis out of the ring, it's still fresh. Mm-hmm. But it was, I said it, he ain't sneaking up on nobody. Anthony Joshua was a supremely underrated boxer in the heavyweight division. And I said it about, after the first round, I said that pull counter right is sitting right there. Whenever he wants to take it, he going to get it. 90 seconds later, he hammered his ass with that thing. Killed that man.
Yep.
It's no surprise here. This version of Anthony Joshua is the best version of Anthony Joshua we've seen. And the reason why is he's not protecting anything anymore. He's not protecting a personality. He's not protecting a persona. He's not protecting his celebrity. He's not protecting an undefeated record. He's not protecting belts. He's just fighting. And when he's not all wound up, like I said, when I worked at the Zone, I've been around him a lot. He's different when he's wound up. This is a much more looser, this is a much more carefree version of Anthony Joshua, and he took care of business. He did what what Tyson Fury could not do, and he made it for Tyson Fury look like a damn fool. And Tyson Fury talked a lot of trash afterwards. Bruh, this is your fault that this happened. It's your fault. All you had to do was take care of Francis, and you couldn't do it. And matter of fact, you got embarrassed by that man. Damn near beat to a lot of people. Anthony Joshua cleaned up your mess. Cleaned it up. Now he's, what sucks is, goddamn rematch clauses. We're going to get Usyk Fury twice in the next 12 months, hopefully.
Maybe.
But what is Joshua doing in the interim? He's not going to wait. He probably ends up fighting Joseph Parker again, who beat Zeli Zhang by decision after being knocked down twice. So there's probably a rematch with Joseph Parker. Or Filip Hrgović, who's the IBF number one contender, which that title is going to be vacated when Fury and Usyk fight. So it could be that fight. But Hrgović, I don't know if he really wants that fight. I don't think he wants that smoke after what he just saw happen to Francis Ngannou. That man's dead.
Of course he's going to want that fight, right? Because it's his biggest payday.
He was offered it before. For everything I heard, Filip Hrgović was offered an Anthony Joshua fight before. And he didn't seem keen to taking it. Joshua is in a position now where he just wants to fight everybody. Like the Ngannou fight wasn't really on his radar until obviously what happened that night. And then Deontay lost, so that ruined everything. So if Hrgović wanted the fight, he should have went after it before. So it's I still think it'll happen. They're both promoted by Matchroom and Eddie Hearn. I still think it'll happen, but a Joseph Parker fight is very appealing right now for Anthony Joshua. So we'll see. But the real question is, does Francis Ngannou box again?
Francis Ngannou shouldn't do anything for like 6 months.
That's true. He wouldn't. He
Just
won't.
yeah, chill out. Like, reports 20 mil from this fight, made a shit ton in the Fury fight. Chill for a second. I do think maybe not his next fight isn't boxing. I think he boxes again. I'm not sure what else is out there for a guy like Deontay Wilder, where you can get a Saudi bag, you lost, but you didn't get knocked out. And it's still two guys coming off a loss, but two huge power punchers. That's something you can sell. And Ngannou can say, you know what? I'm going to knock you out. I'm going to bounce back from that loss to AJ, and I'm going to go back after AJ. And then Wilder can say, I'm going to knock your ass out like AJ did, but worse. So it's one of those things where you could build that. They do like the crazy comic book previews and all that shit. That looks great. You can sell that to people. I think that's a fight people still want to see. And that's probably Francis's last fight if he doesn't win it in boxing. But that's a cleanup. No one has those three fights. Conor got one. Like you're cleaning up if you go on that row of fights. So I think we see him box again. I think we probably see his next fight in PFL against the champion. It's scary. Because now that you've got knocked out, you're going to a place with tiny gloves and a big guy. So it's kind of kill or be killed in that scenario. You really don't want to lose an MMA for less money, but they'll pay him well. If he wins that by brutal knockout, like Francis usually does in MMA, then you get that momentum back and you go right back into boxing. But I think he needs that MMA fight to rebuild himself just a little bit. Not that he lost a ton, but just get that, like, yo. This is still my sport. I still knock people the hell out. And then you flip that into the next boxing match.
If I was Francis's manager, I would not put him in the smart cage in PFL next. Absolutely not. I would not have him fight Henry Ferreira at all. Not no. No, here's why. You got to retrain your muscles. You got to retrain everything because you're going back to MMA.
Yep.
Right? And you're fighting a Brazilian guy who has a ground game and is a giant with heavy hands. If you lose that fight, it knocks the luster off of everything. I
Yeah.
think the best decision for Francis Ngannou is take 6 months off and try to bait Deontay Wilder in the loser leaves town match in Saudi Arabia because y'all both damn near 40 and the loser has to leave the sport. It's a wrap. The Saudi prince, he probably write that in the contract. Loser leaves town match.
Yeah.
It'd be a great promo. But for me personally, to have Francis Ngannou have to retrain MMA for a fight and then pivot back to boxing isn't smart. And I know PFL is a super fight division, and I know Francis is supposed to be the anchor of that, but it doesn't seem very clear, and it hasn't been communicated to anybody when Francis has to fight. Like he could still, if he lost to Deontay, still go back to MMA. Like it ain't really going nowhere. Now it won't be as big as it was after the Fury fight, but I just see no reason for him to fight somebody that nobody knows in MMA for less money and then try to go back to boxing. Deontay ain't gonna be here much longer either. So if you two are gonna get the bag, go get it now. Go get it now before the end of the year. Fight September, October, Saudi Arabia, loser leaves town. Then you tell the PFL, all right, cool. Because it seems like,
They'll always take him back.
yeah, they'll take him back. And it seems like when I talked to Nikisa Badarian, Jake Paul's manager, I know Jake, we're gonna talk about that, Jake fucking fighting Mike Tyson. But there's a I know they got an MMA fight they're gonna eventually do. And I know they've been trying to bait Nate Diaz into that fight or Tommy Fury, which is crazy. But they have options for a PFL pay-per-view super fight card. They still got Clarissa versus Savannah Marshall if they want to do that. They have options for a pay-per-view. They want Francis. I don't think they need him. But if I'm Francis, nah, man, I'm training boxing. I'm going to watch me getting smoked by AJ 1,000 times and then figure it out with Deontay Wilder, who's not nearly as polished as AJ, he's got a more dynamite punch, but there's a path to victory against Deontay, who was absolutely listless against Joseph Parker.
That's true, but it's going to be hard to fix what was open here. This was the case of someone didn't come in to clown around.
No, that's
what Tyson Fury came in and was playing around, got dropped, and was like, okay, let me just do what the hell I got to do. I got another fight. Like, I'm not even going to try to stand and engage, and maybe there's stuff I can take advantage of, but why even engage? Just box his ears off and get the hell out of here. Because Francis really came for a fight. I don't think Fury anticipated that. In terms of AJ was like, no, I'm preparing for you. I'm preparing to box. And he caught Francis with a simple 1-2. 1-2, okay, let Francis swing, pull counter. 1-2. The first time he dropped him was 1-2 right down the middle.
Yeah, it was a straight right hand.
Yeah, it's the easiest combo in boxing. You learn that on day two. If you can't block that, and then Francis's hands went just like this. He got hit down the middle. Francis's arms went damn near elbows touching to stop getting hit straight in his beak. And it was like, AJ was like, okay, then I'm going to just counter you and reach around that guard. And then boop, hit him right on the side of the head, and it was over. So I think Wilder possesses those same tools.
He doesn't. You've never seen Deontay Wilder do a pull counter.
I've seen him do a 1-2. That's his whole game, Dre.
I mean, that's what Fury was doing in Ganu Block. What I'm saying is AJ is a much, much better boxer than Deontay Wilder is. So those same things that AJ did, Deontay's not going to do. He's very crude in his boxing ability. I think Dewey Cooper and Eric Nixon could try to come up with a plan to deal with the wildness that is Deontay Wilder and to stay away from that right hand. It's a hard job. You might still get knocked out, but I just think that fight makes infinitely more money than a fight with Henry Ferrara in PFL. Infinitely. And if you get knocked out, well, fuck it. You're 0-3 in boxing with zero professional or amateur resume. Yeah. Fuck it. And a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Go ahead and write the Hollywood story. Fuck it.
I would say, and I don't know how you track this stat, it's easily the most money made within someone's first three fights in boxing history.
By a country mile. It's not even
fucking I only say maybe because Conor McGregor made 100 mil on one fight.
That's also true.
So
that is also
true. But he never got to three. So I don't know if he counts for that stat.
Yeah. You got
to have three to make that much. But yeah, Conor McGregor on his first fight ever made the most money of all time.
Yeah, no, excuse me. I almost forgot. Like Conor ain't fought since. Like he barely fights. He don't have to do nothing. But you're right. It's for the first three fights. I mean, honestly, the only other person that's been raking in dough like this early in their boxing career is Jake Paul.
Jake.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Other than that, what Francis has accomplished, that man made $600,000 his last UFC fight. $600,000. $600,000. In a fight, like, what?
And people said he was fumbling the bag.
That man went and grabbed two bags. He's Scrooge McDuckin' right now.
All the bags.
Look, man, I joked on social media about, you know, Francis getting knocked out because it was the coldest dead body I'd ever seen. He put that man to sleep like Pacquiao put Ricky Hatton to sleep. Just perfect. Just tucked him in. Night-night. Right in the casket. Got the dancing crew out there to put the casket on the shoulders and get him up out of there. That's nasty work. And AJ didn't even celebrate. He was like, it's just business. Regardless, Francis Ngannou should have never been in the spot in the first place. This man is pulled off the unthinkable. He deserves all the accolades. He did not fumble a bag. He made tons of money. He doesn't have to fight anymore if he doesn't want to. It was funny watching AJ talk to him like he was a child, a parent that had to discipline his child. Like, hey, man, don't stop. I had to do this to you. You know I love you, but I had to put these hands on you to remind you, you ain't on this level, but don't stop boxing. Get better.
And it's really, I feel like he meant that. So
he did.
I was watching it, I was like, damn, he really didn't want to really put the paws on him like that. But it came down to, I have to do better than Tyson Fury did. Yeah, like, I have to make, I need to make money going forward. I have to prove that I'm deserving of another fight with Usyk, which neither was really that close. Or me and Tyson are going to make a lot of money. And now people have a lot of doubts on if he's as good as me, which is ridiculous, but cool.
It's not ridiculous. I said this from day one. AJ has the best resume in heavyweight division.
Sure. And a lot of losses on that resume.
It's three. And he, but he has the best resume. Like Usyk is the best heavyweight by far right now. Like Usyk is the best heavyweight. Tyson Fury had the wars with Deontay Wilder, but aside from that, Tyson Fury's resume is not that great. It's just not. But I still would
He
say that
beat
Fury.
the best heavyweight of the past 20 years when that guy was in his prime.
I mean, look, Klitschko's on the backside of his career.
Not
Fury
when
had.
Fury fought him.
There he was.
He was on the backside when AJ fought him.
No, he was on the
Yes.
backside when Fury fought. It was like they're a year apart. Like Klitschko was not the same dude when he fought Fury. Nevertheless, Fury's biggest wins are Wilder and Klitschko. That's it. Like he got Dillian White and Derek Chisora way late in their careers. The resumes aren't the same. AJ has the best
I think he
resume.
fought Dillian early too, didn't he? That was like a
No,
rematch.
no. AJ fought Dillian early.
Fury fought one of them early.
Derek Chisora.
Chisora.
Yeah, Chisora's never been that great.
No, I agree. I'm just saying he fought him before.
What we have to find out about Tyson Fury is if the Ngannou thing, which we all believe he didn't train for that fight,
Yeah.
or if there's a part of him that may be on the backside that we just haven't really paid attention to. We don't know.
Could be slowing down.
I do find it entertaining that Eddie Hearn stepped in the ring and started advocating for his man and called out Fury like Oleksandr Usyk doesn't exist. It didn't just beat Anthony Joshua twice. He was like, yeah, we want to fight with Fury. Yes, no, but Usyk's the man right now. Usyk is the man. He is unequivocally the best heavyweight in the world after Fury shit the bed against Ngannou, and then Joshua doused him in flames. But for Eddie Hearn to not even say his name, like, man, y'all sound scared.
I was about to say, he doesn't want that smoke. You know he
They
don't.
don't. They don't. I think AJ might be a might have a better fight against Usyk now than he did before, but Usyk's still the best in the world right now. Right now, he's the best in the world. And if Usyk can,
Stylistically, it's just horrible for AJ.
Usyk is a nightmare for everybody. He's great movement, a terrific boxer, can put punches together. He's elusive. Like he's a nightmare.
Yeah.
And he could be a nightmare for Tyson Fury as well if he's not careful. So
It's not going to be easy fight by any means. I mean, right now, I think giving everything how it's transpired over the past year, I wouldn't have said this before, but Usyk is a clear favorite in that fight.
I mean, it should be at least a 2-1 right now.
And that's wild against Tyson Fury.
It is. It
He's
is.
one of the
It's just,
best. The prime Fury is one of the best heavyweights I've ever seen.
yeah, it's
The
he's been
combination of
incredible.
skills, but the focus has to be there.
The
The launch
focus has to
pad.
be there, and we have to wonder. You had two wars with Deontay Wilder. I won't
Yeah.
count the second fight. I just can't. It's not fair. He killed that man.
No, he ran through.
But that third fight was one of those things where we may not have seen it because he kept getting up, but you could only take so much on that chin. You could only take so much. And then when Ngannou knocked you down, it was like, all right, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Right? Like, there could be a part of Tyson Fury, whether he undertrained or not, where physically he's not necessarily the same. And when it comes crashing down and it hurts inside on some Hulk Hogan shit, it happens fast. It happens fast. And you don't want to do that against a guy like Oleksandr Usyk. And you don't want to do it against an Anthony Joshua, who still has dynamite in his hands. But Fury could be absolutely fine. It just could be a bad fight. We don't know. We will see come May.
And that's the thing where it would have been a little easier if we saw them fight already, like they would have supposed. Like it would have been okay, we're gearing up for a rematch maybe, but we know exactly who Tyson Fury is at this point. We know who Usyk is. If Usyk would have won, then that's why you say, like, yo, I hate rematch clauses. If Usyk beats Fury, honestly, I'm not sure if Joshua's in a rush to fight Usyk again. I
Probably
think
not.
Fury is not in a rush to take an immediate rematch because he's like, I went for undisputed. I didn't get it. I mean, all right, that's done. I'm probably close to retirement if I can't beat this guy. I'm not going to be undisputed. I'm not going to take two fights, cracks at it. He probably just says, I'm going to fight AJ, make a ton of money. I understand Saudi wants that fight. No, we're going to bring that home,
Yep.
sell out Wembley, and I'm going to retire. Regardless of how it goes against AJ, if he loses to Usyk, AJ's probably his last fight and he's out.
I agree. I agree.
So I don't see the rematch clause playing or coming into play unless Fury wins.
Yep, because I if Fury loses to Usyk, that is a come to Jesus moment. You're like, maybe I don't have it anymore, right?
100%.
Maybe that guy is just better than everybody, and we can just leave it at that. And I'll just go fight AJ, make a ton of money, and one of us got to go in the UK's biggest fight ever,
And
right?
I
So.
think he will. I think he'll go after that, no matter, because I just don't see him getting up to fight Usyk twice.
I don't either. Unless it's like super close and it's like, or something wild happens.
Like a cut.
Yeah.
Like
If.
the cut opens up again, and he's just like, yo, I couldn't see. And he has like a built-in excuse.
But if Usyk just outclasses him for 12 rounds and wins like a 16 12, 17 11 scorecard, woof. It's a
Ugh.
wrap. That's a wrap. And then we got to have a whole nother conversation about generational heavyweights. Where does Alexander Usyk fall on this list?
He then becomes the best heavyweight of the generation. And we beat AJ, who's third. Because I think Wilder slides pretty far down.
Yeah.
So even though AJ lost to Andy Ruiz, like that was on some late notice. I don't even hold that shit against him. That's
Yeah,
like some late
it
notice,
happened.
whatever. I chalked that one up. Kind of like I chalk up the Teofimo thing. Like it was the perfect storm for AJ to lose. Regathered himself, cool. Usyk, if it was an 8-round fight, he would have had two draws. It's just in rounds 9 through 12, he stops throwing body shots and Usyk picks his ass apart. I don't know how he changes that. Maybe Ben Davison, I will say this. Ben Davison has gotten the best out of both Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua,
He
in my
has.
opinion. I like Kronk. I like Fury going there. I like what Sugar was able to do with him, but he took away all the defense that made Fury great, made him an offensive fighter, kind of lumbering.
Yeah.
And it worked for Wilder because you had to stand toe to toe and knock his block off. Like that's the only way you beat a bullet. But for everyone else, that original style is what probably works and beats everyone else. It's just,
Probably.
I don't know if Sugar Hill can go back and give him that. Davidson gave him that perfect style. He was untouchable for a second, defensively. Joshua's looked better in these two fights with Ben Davidson than he looked going to America or chasing other trainers. Like Ben Davidson was like, look, you're going to take your time. I'm going to show you a couple defensive tactics, but you're going to be aggressive. And you're going to be technical, but aggressive. Or we're just going to throw hands. We'll protect yourself. I'll teach you how to do that while you're throwing. And you're like, all right. And he's let his hands go the past two fights.
Yeah, no, you're right. Ben Davidson's been great for AJ. He looks like a renewed man. It's funny how boxing is. Like, there was a time that people said AJ should retire, and now he looks like the freshest of the bunch of these heavyweights outside of Usyk. But yeah, man, we'll have to see what Francis Ngannou does. We'll see how these things shake out, and we got a few months to wait to determine an undisputed champion. And that's the funny thing about it. They have this fight for the undisputed championship, and then the IBF goes vacant the next fight. The rematch is not for the undisputed title anymore. So what would Tyson Fury even be doing it for? Unless he really
Because you're
wants
not
revenge,
even
it's not legacy.
no, because you're not even undisputed at this point because it's
Nope.
vacated. So really, it's all about winning the first fight.
Yep.
Without the first fight, nothing else really matters. Usyk the same. Like
Oh,
Usyk would
for
want
sure.
revenge,
He would. He's a
just off
maniac.
principle. It's kind of just what he does.
Yeah, he's not normal.
No, by no means. Which cool. But even with that, I would say it's not for all the belts, and he'll probably have to belt chase. If Fury wins, honestly, I think he vacates all the belts. Maybe he keeps the WBC. He loves the WBC, they're never going to strip him.
Yeah, he might keep that green belt.
And that's kind of like always been his belt. Like he
Yeah.
chased it for a long time. He always wanted that. It's the one where he didn't win it when he fought Klitschko. He had to come to America to get it. It just means a little more to him. But
Yeah.
outside of that, he probably drops, he does what Josh Taylor does. Here. And then you want to fight me again. Cool. It's just on principle. And Teofimo's like, fuck. Like, I should have been undisputed, but
Yep.
never going to say that. So it's one of those things where, man, it's a lot riding on this Fury fight now because AJ made it so. And it's kind of mind-boggling because he beat a guy who's just MMA fighter, like
Yeah.
who had the best night of his life against Tyson Fury, who didn't take it seriously. And AJ was like, bro, you're an MMA fighter. Like, it's what Floyd would have done to Conor if Floyd wanted to put his foot on the gas. It's what
100%.
anyone does to anyone. It's what Javante does to Sean O'Malley if they wanted to ever step in the ring. It's what high-class level boxers do to anyone who's remotely good at MMA. Tyron Woodley was an MMA champion, got starched by a beginner boxer in Jake Paul.
Yep.
It's not even close if someone's taking it serious. Nate,
Speaking of Jake Paul, let's go there. We got a lot of ground to cover.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You were wrong. Let's start there.
About what?
You were wrong. You
About
were
what?
saying Jake is building up. He's, you know, he's fighting these guys who you're supposed to fight. He's on
Yes.
the path to becoming a champion.
Yes.
Netflix came and said, belts are cute, but how about this dough? And Jake was like, fuck those belts.
You read my story. I said in the story, like, he is, if there's an opportunity he cannot refuse, he's going to take it. And he's just going to go back to boxing. He's in a unique position. Like, we'll talk about how ridiculous this fight is in a second. He's in a unique position where he still wants to be a world champion. But if somebody says, here's like $30 million to fight Mike Tyson in the most egregious mismatch for on a number of levels that could be out there, he can take it. And then he'll just go back because he'll have another $30 million and he'll just go back to boxing.
Yep.
Ryan Borland's of the world again. So he can do that. I still think, talking to Nikisa, talking to Jake, I still think the man wants to be ranked by a sanctioning body at some point. And I think he's going to fight Mike Tyson. And regardless of the outcome, he'll go right back to fighting journeymen and building this resume. But he ain't going to pass up that bag. He can't. It'd be ridiculous for him to pass up that bag. But let's talk about how ridiculous the idea of this fight is. Like, what the fuck are we doing? This is everything that is wrong with the social media era of everything. Like, this is the social media fight.
Just
the most social
fantasy
media.
Booking shit.
It's the most
video
social
game.
Media fight ever. Like, there is no fight that's more social media than this. Before, it's Conor and Floyd. This, it's like, hey, let's go get a 57, about to 50, 58-year-old Mike Tyson. Let's act like he's still a killer. Like, motherfucker ain't won a significant fight in 25 years. But let's act like he's still a killer. And let's put him in there with Jake Paul, who's 27 years old, doesn't have a ton of skill, never been a world champion. And people who don't know better think Mike's going to kill him.
So many people think Mike's getting him out of here.
I'm like, did you see the plumbers that Mike Tyson lost to 25 years ago?
The man's eating handfuls of mushrooms. He's smoking mad weed. He's in way better condition now than he was 25 years ago.
He is, but he's 57, about to be 58 years old.
Yeah, but his body is functioning better than it did at 32.
You know who else had a great body that was that looked like it was functioning until it malfunctioned? Evander Holyfield.
Yeah, but...
And he went in there and fought Vitor Belfort and looked awful.
Holyfield awful. Barely put together two sentences. Mike isn't there.
We act like Mike is putting together two because he's just saying shit. My point is, everybody looks at Mike and they look at those videos of him hitting pads that don't hit back. And it sounds great. Jake has been training. Yes, he's a novice. Can he get caught? Absolutely. We don't know the rules of this fight, right? We don't know if Texas is going to sanction this as an actual professional boxing match. I don't think that they will. It'll probably be an exhibition. Then we won't learn about the rules until like a week before it's on Netflix. And if you look at the stare down, Jake might be big, almost as big as in terms of height and reach. Physically, he matches up with Mike.
Yeah.
My concern, like everybody goes, well, what did he do to Roy Jones? Roy Jones, y'all act like Roy Jones was getting his block knocked off for the last 10 years before he fought Mike Tyson, right? Like, that fight was between two old men. Yeah. Mike just happened to be older. And Roy had no conditioning down the stretch. But it wasn't like Mike was beating the hell out of Roy Jones. We all looked at Mike and was like, wow, he looks really good at this age. A 27-year-old kid with a heavy-ass right hand? If Jake touches Mike, Mike has never had great punch resistance. And you're asking him at damn near 60 years old to eat a right hand?
Said he's going to Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson.
Dog, he might. He might. I'm just saying, like, it just... Everybody is, this is, and the reason why I say this is such a social media fight is because we're all going to trash it and we're all going to watch it.
Everyone's.
It's on Netflix.
I was talking to my wife about that. I was like, yo, she's like, it's going to be record breaking. I was just like, it's hard to break records if it's not pay-per-view in terms of like combat.
We don't even know what that looks like.
But is it crazy to think it'll be the top three streamed professional sporting events ever?
Not at all. Not at all.
Netflix Kansas City just broke the record with the Taylor Swift game in the playoffs. Yeah,
the Super Bowl, yes.
Yeah. No. Not
oh, you're talking about the
Peacock
the Bills game. Was that the Bills game?
I think so. The Peacock game is the number one streamed.
Oh, the Ravens.
Sporting event, so far. So that's because it was only available on stream.
Right.
So it's even more so than the Super Bowl. It was the most streamed game ever. It was the only place you can get it. So that's number one. This might not be too far behind.
I mean, this might actually be ahead because more people have Netflix than Peacock.
That's true. People know how to find Netflix. And it's still Mike Tyson.
It's Iron Mike.
It's not going to be. Because I think that hit like 14 million. This fight's not going to do 14 million.
I don't know what it's going to do.
For free, though? It might have been 2 mil pay-per-view.
It's for free in the middle of nothing. Right, there's nothing. It's summer.
Think about that.
There's no college football. There's no NFL. I think you're in the. I don't know if you're out of the NBA finals by then. Was it June 20th or July 20th? July 20th. Right?
July 20th. NBA.
Yeah. Everything's old. It's a wrap. Draft, all that's left is baseball. Ain't nobody fucking turning on a Dodgers game instead of this fight.
And they're coming out of the All-Star break. So really, it's like I don't give a fuck about baseball,
dude. And the way that Netflix is about to promote this, because almost the bigger story that nobody's talking about, they're getting into live sports. You know what kind of promotion they're about to put behind this shit? The documentary, you're not going to be able to get away from it. And everybody has Netflix. It is the most social media fight ever. It's a viral moment. It's a legend in Mike Tyson against somebody that everybody wants to see get knocked out. It's ridiculous. But we're all going to fucking watch it. And these two, Mike's going to buy more mushrooms in another dispensary or whatever the hell he is. And Jake is just, he's going to clean up. And the Paul brothers win again. Holy shit. They're rich. Love them or hate them. They win again.
Between WWE and boxing. And Logan just went to boxing, just got an easy bag.
Yeah.
It came back. That was just like, yeah, I'm just going to defend this U.S. title. You call out Rey Mysterio after a boxing match.
It's nuts. Then he went and won.
Then like he won.
the funny thing about it, like, he went and did that and got this big bag. And like, again, in my story for ESPN, what I didn't put in there was among the names for Jake, because they, you know, they want to fight two more times this year against pro boxers, right? Yeah. And I'm certain that this Mike Tyson fight was in the worst when I had that conversation, which was like 2 weeks ago. Absolutely happened. Was in the worst. So they want to have two more fights. So he'll probably fight like September and December.
Yeah.
Put that out there. And then he wants to fight four times next year. But you know what fight is sitting out there that will, if this ends up being a success, you know where they could go if they don't go with Tommy Fury? Motherfucking KSI.
Oh, that fight is still out there.
And you know, like, you put it on a streaming platform? You want to obliterate records?
You put that on Netflix?
Just forget about it. Just forget about it.
It's breaking every record.
Just, like, I saw Michael Bisping trashing Jake Paul. He's ruining boxing. No, boxing is ruining boxing. Jake Paul's not ruining boxing.
No.
Jake Paul's, he's making money and y'all just mad.
He's making money for people in your sport.
Yeah, and it's funny. I was on Sirius yesterday and I had Alan Joban was talking about how, you know, Jake is, he was only fighting MMA fighters at the end of their career. And I was like, yeah, but they got the most money they ever got in their life at the end of their MMA career fighting Jake Paul. So gotta give credit where credit is due. Yeah, he's fighting Tyron Woodley, but Tyron Woodley repeats it every time. He's like, I never made that much money until I fought Jake Paul.
Yeah. And it's not like it's an easy fight. He was fighting former champions.
Yeah.
As a guy who honestly was a YouTuber. He wasn't a fighter.
He was on Bizardvark. Like, what the fuck are we talking about?
Like, you could put whatever size gloves on his hands, and this kid should not beat Anderson Silva.
No.
He should not beat Tyron Woodley.
But he did.
Because you give me a pair of gloves, I'm not beating Tyron Woodley in any type of combat sport, form or fashion. So he's actually pretty – he's surpassed what anyone should be capable of in terms of just picking up a sport off the street.
It's nuts because we're talking about Francis Ngannou. Everybody respects Francis, but Francis is a fighter.
He's been a fighter.
Yes. And we're all praising that man because he went to boxing and he fought the best. And we're not taking that away from him, but everybody's praising a fighter for doing his job.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Paul was on Vine. Jake Paul was on Bizardvark. Jake Paul was the little brother of Logan Paul. There was no fight in this man. We had never seen him do any of this. He fought a Neeson Gibb. And then he was like, he had like the amateur fight against Deji.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm going to do this. And that was like 5 years ago. Not even 5 years ago. He's only been training for that long. Strangely enough, Deontay Wilder stepped into a gym when he was 20. Jake did it when he was 21. Deontay Wilder had to fight like 32 cans before he fought a man with a pulse. Like, seriously, you look at Deontay Wilder's resume for his first 32 fights.
Oh, it is not Jake Paul's resume. No.
Like, and people are like, oh, Jake fought Ryan Borland and he was an Uber driver. No, Ryan Borland had a pro record. He's not good, but this is what you do to get there. But it's like, now we're like, I don't like the fight with Mike Tyson because Mike is 58, but are we going to really be mad at this man for making money? And
is it better to fight Tyson at this point? People are treating it like, okay, well, he's fighting an old man, of course, but they're giving him more respect or respecting this fight more than his last fight.
That's my point. It's like everybody's going, oh, he's going to get killed against Mike. He fought an Uber driver last night. That Ryan Borland was a boxer. He didn't fight for like a year. He's not very good, but he's not 58 years old.
Yeah.
Like Ryan Borland has won a fight, a meaningful fight, earlier than Mike Tyson has.
Yeah.
Again, Tyson hasn't beaten anybody in almost 25 years. 25 years. It's more than most people are alive.
They did rob him of a win against Roy Jones.
It was an exhibition. It wouldn't have counted anyway.
Sure.
So when Mike Tyson won a meaningful fight, Jake Paul was like two.
Maybe. Like,
Jake Paul.
I wouldn't even call that last win meaningful. So now we're
splitting
this here.
I don't know, like when Mike Tyson was born, motherfuckers was putting 8-tracks in their cars. When Jake Paul was born, it was CDs.
He had never seen an 8-track.
He ain't seen an 8-track or cassette or vinyl. Jake's like, what is this? But here we are. 30-year difference. This fight's happening, and people are giving Mike Tyson more respect than anybody. It's crazy. It's going to be so sad if Jake does knock Mike out, because I don't think anybody wants that. I don't think Jake even wants that. But if Mike comes at you like he comes at them pass, you're going to have to hit him in the mouth.
That's it. Because I was talking to someone else the other day. They're like, well, maybe Mike will take it easy on him.
You worried about Mike?
I was like, okay, let's just for some reason entertain this. You think Mike Tyson has an off switch? I was like, dude, whatever you do in life, this person, photographer. I was like, if someone gives you a camera and says, yo, go shoot shots of this event, but only shoot the shittiest shots you can. Like, here, cover this festival, but only take the worst pictures you can take. You wouldn't know how to do that. The camera will come in your hand. You'll start shooting shit. You'll be like, what? And you're only going to produce good photos because it's like muscle memory. It's all you know how to do. When Tyson, he can have the best of intentions. When he steps in that ring and he gets punched in the face, oh, it's just snapping back into who Tyson is.
Yes. And I mean, come on. All right. So while you're saying that, I was just looking up Mike's record. So he quit against Kevin McBride. He quit against Danny Williams. That was in 2005 and 2004 when he was 38.
Okay.
He beat Clifford Etienne, who was a walking corpse in 2003. That's not a meaningful fight. He got smoked by Lennox Lewis in 2002. He beat some bum named Brian Nielsen. He had that failed drug test against Andrew Gallada. Beat Lou Savarese Wayne shit, Julius Francis. So, yeah, his last meaningful win is in 2000, right?
Yeah.
But Mike Tyson has a history. A long history of not liking getting hit in the face. When Evander stood there with him, Mike hated it.
Yeah.
When Lennox stood there with him, Mike hated it. Danny fucking McBride. Who? What are we talking about? And now we're going to sit here and act like Jake Paul, a man who's been training, who you can say what you want about Jake. He's got a hell of a right hand.
Good enough right hand.
And Mike is old. That, I mean, we cannot act like his punch resistance is going to be there at, if it wasn't there at 38, you think it just magically reappears to 58? He's aging in dog years because the Roy Jones
fight. The weed has pickled his system. It's keeping him young.
Dude, he fought Roy Jones in, what is that, 2020?
Yeah. That was a while ago.
Like 2020 is 4 years ago.
Pre-pandemic?
No, it was during the pandemic, but things were just starting to open up.
Yeah, because I remember doing a ton of Mike Tyson content.
So that was 4 years ago, almost 4 years ago. By the time Mike steps in there with Jake Paul, it'd be almost 4 years ago. From 30 to 34, not a big deal. 34 to 38, kind of a big deal in fighting.
I'm feeling
38 to 42, it's a pretty big deal. From 54 to 58, you might as well just be a dog. That's 7 years. Every year is 7 years at that point. I don't know what y'all think Mike's going to do. I'm blown away that people, and I think this is the brilliance of Jake Paul's team and Nikisa and MVP. They were like, oh, people think Mike's going to win this shit. And they're all going to tune in.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't mad at them. I hate the fight for Mike. I hate seeing Mike trotted out here like this, but I get it.
People really think he's going to win, Trey.
Oh,
like,
all right.
Honest to God.
58-year-old Mike Tyson. Y'all are crazy. I love Mike, but nope. Not happening. Yeah. You want to stay on the topic of bullshit? You want to stay on the topic of bullshit right quick?
I'm trying to think of the last time someone, before we move on to Ryan Garcia and the bullshit there.
No, we're not going to talk. We'll save Ryan for last.
What's next? I was still thinking about Mike.
Nah, Canelo just formally announced he's fighting Jaime Munguia on May 4th.
Did he?
He went on Instagram and announced it.
Wow.
Want to talk about some bullshit?
Where's the pay-per-view at?
They haven't announced it, but he's back with PBC for a one-fight deal.
It's weird that you're fighting a DAZN guy on PBC for one fight.
It'll be split. It'll be a Amazon Prime DAZN fight.
Okay.
So, at least from all the
Eddie
things that
said,
I've
I'm getting some money. And Canelo was like, I'm going to a bigger platform than you guys. Because
Well,
nobody got DAZN to pay for pay-per-view.
it's really Oscar, because that's Oscar's fighter.
That's true.
Haymin Mukhi is a Golden Boy fighter. But yeah, this is what's happening. Canelo, I guess I'm just going to assume before the full report comes out that Canelo wanted to do what Canelo wanted to do in a three fight deal, and PBC was like, nah, we ain't paying you that fucking kind of money to do that bullshit. Like, you're not fighting fucking Edgar Belong on our clock. Like, you can
Yeah.
get the fuck out of here. But the idea of Canelo fighting Haymin Mungia is a little bit more, it's easily digestible. Because now it's like, we don't, whatever you do after that's on you, right? Like, you ain't gonna fight David Benavidez. You're not gonna fight Terrence Crawford. If this is the fucking guy you're gonna fight, so be it. And we'll pay for that fight. We need a big pay-per-view for Amazon Prime.
Yeah, that's the
We'll take
key.
it. We'll take it. But I don't know if you saw Andre Ward on the Breakfast Club. Andre Ward got on the Breakfast Club yesterday. I love Andre Ward. His insight on a lot of shit. Because I talked to him about this before, but he really went into it on Breakfast Club where he talked about a duck, right? And this
Which
is a
you can
duck.
say because he ain't ducked nobody.
Andre Ward never ducked anybody.
No.
Never ducked anybody. And he talks about, because he's like, Floyd never ducked anybody. Like, Floyd fought everybody he had to fight. And then at a certain point, you do get to pick and choose once you make it clear what your motivation is. Once you make it clear that my motivation is make a lot of money, I ain't worried about these fucking belts, you do what you want. That's what Floyd did. But up until that point, Floyd fought everybody. And we talked about this on the last show. I was like, Canelo's resume, there's some smoke and mirrors in that shit.
Little bit. He got
There's a
gifted a couple.
lot of bit. It's a lot of bit. Miguel Cotto, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.,
It's
Amir
some fluff.
Khan.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of hypocrisy in Canelo's career and resume. A lot. A lot. And the reason why I bring up the hypocrisy is because we all look at this 168 run, which was tremendous what he did to become undisputed in like a year. It was tremendous what he did. However, he made Gennady wait. He didn't fight him when Gennady was at the height of it. He made him wait. He told him, he like, if anybody remembers, that fight was supposed to be like a year early, their first fight.
Yep.
And Canelo kept saying, I can't make weight. But when he fought Miguel Cotto, Canelo was 180 pounds on fight night. And Miguel Cotto was barely 160, right? And that fight was 154 pounds. Like, Canelo was fucking huge. And he kept using it. And at the time, Oscar was saying the same thing. Oh, he's got a fight and filling his body. He fought Amir fucking Khan. A career, not a welterweight, a junior welterweight at 140 pounds. Made that man jump up to 154 and demolished him. And the reason why I bring up that Amir Khan fight is because Canelo had the nerve to say, what do I get out of fighting Terrence Crawford? They'll say he's too small. Motherfucker, you fought Amir Khan and he was tiny. You fought Jermell Charlo and he was two weight classes below. And neither of them as good as Terrence Crawford.
Yeah, and Terrence is just three below.
Right. So
And I
what are
guess
we?
Terrence started a lot lower.
Sure, but he's been massacring everybody at 47.
Yeah, but that's
And
like someone like, I don't want to fight Manny Pacquiao as he was climbing up because he
right.
started at like 115 or 112. Who
Exactly.
cares?
Who
He's
gives a shit?
dominating here now.
He
Who
went
cares?
all the way up and beat up Antonio Margarito. Like, if you're that good, like, don't just cut the bullshit. Now, there was a time where Canelo said, I'm not fighting another Mexican, right? And then he
He
fought
said that
Chavez
shit
Jr.,
3 weeks ago.
right? And now he's fighting Haymin Mungia. And the crazy thing about the Mungia fight is Mungia was never that good. Everybody looks at the John Ryder performance like John Ryder was good to begin with. Also, Mungia had a barn burner with Sergey Derevchenko, an absolute barn burner last year that was in fight of the year, quality type of fight. But are we really going to sit here and act like Derevchenko, who was not the man who fought Gennady Golovkin almost 3 years prior, was that good? And now wasn't that fight at 160 pounds? How is Jaime Munguia fighting for the undisputed 168-pound title off of beating John Ryder when David Benavidez has beat up everybody in that weight class?
Never fought at that weight class.
What the fuck are we doing? Your man Canelo's full of shit. I think he's an excellent fighter, but Andre Ward laid it all. He was like, this is a duck. Like, there is, you can't claim to want to be the best when the two best fighters in the world, one, the best fighter in your weight class and the best fighter in the world, both want to fight you, and you're going to fight a guy who doesn't even deserve it, that's not in your weight class, that is smaller than you.
Yeah. It doesn't look great. The optics look bad, but I still say Canelo went on such a run that it's like, all right, you can kind of pick who you want to fight, at least for a while. He cleaned out an entire division in a year.
Yeah, but I mean, and I have to give him credit for that.
Outside of one guy.
The most devastating force in that division, the one guy he didn't fight. He did not fight the one man who was better, who was clearly better than everybody at 68. It wasn't like David Benavidez was kind of good. He was making mincemeat out of fools. And Canelo wouldn't fight him. And now it's like, while that run was great, what happened was you lose to Dmitry Bivol, which is, as Andre Ward called it, a miscalculation. You moved up. You thought you were better than you were at light heavyweight because you fought a washed up Sergey Kovalev at light heavyweight. And you thought that you can go up to light heavyweight and all these guys are going to be like this. No, no, no. Because Sergey Kovalev was washed up when Andre Ward beat that ass. But you went and had a miscalculation against Bivol. You lost that fight.
And people thought Kovalev beat Ward.
In the first fight, yeah.
In the first fight.
And then Ward hit him to the body, and Kovalev's like, I don't like this shit. He quit.
Yep.
But here's the thing about Canelo. This is the problem with all of this. Canelo said he wanted to be the best, fought Dmitry Bivol and lost. He refused to give Bivol a rematch at 68 because he said, I'm only going up to 75 to fight you, right? Bivol was like, fuck that. Fuck you. I already beat you. I don't need money like that. Whatever. What is Canelo's next two moves? John Ryder and Jermell Charlo. And now his third move is Jaime Munguia?
He's coasting a bit.
It's like, even Floyd, Robert Guerrero was the number one contender.
Yeah.
Right? Victor Ortiz was the number one contender. Marcos Maidana was the top contender. They had all proven themselves coming off of wins heading into this fight.
Maidana had a great win. He beat the shit out of Broner before that.
Yeah. But they all did something to earn that fight. Miguel Cotto came off a win. Everybody that Floyd fought, say what you want, they were in his weight class, and they were coming off of wins. Canelo's fighting. This will be a second consecutive opponent that has to move up to fight him. And he's the undisputed champion. You got to give him them belts, bro. This is some bullshit.
What do the belts matter to him? I say this every time we bring it up. What do the belts matter to him now?
He likes to say it. It's a lie. That's my problem with Canelo. Like Canelo says.
And they're not giving him mandatories because he cleaned out the whole division.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, but David Benavidez is right. Fuck. Like, what are we doing? Like, we're telling lies. David Benavidez is the number one contender. You ain't going to fight him, and you're not going to fight David Morrell.
I was about to say David Morrell is there. Even if you don't want to fight Benavidez, David Morrell is right there. He's earned.
Ain't no way he'd fight David Morrell. Ain't no way. But yeah, you get to pick and choose. But
who does he fight in September, then? We know,
man,
who he
fights
in May. Who does he fight in September?
I mean,
if it's Charlo, you're going to be upset?
I will be sick if it's Charlo. I'll be disgusted. Because this will be a fourth fight in a row against somebody who didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to keep it a buck. It has to be David Benavidez, or you just got to get the fuck on out of here. Like, you can't. And Dave is about to fight a light heavyweight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Dave is like, fuck you, fuck this shit. I'm going to move up, fight Vozdik, who's in your camp, beat the shit out of him so you can all watch. Because he is going to beat the dog shit out of that man. Yeah. And he might go chase a light heavyweight title, but Canelo can't fight.
This is a side quest for him. And it's a hard side quest. But he's just like, yo, it's a side quest.
He's like, hey, man, you don't want to fight me? I'm going to go beat up people. And he's going to put hands on people. So I don't know. Canelo, he can't. you can't fight Charlo. Charlo's no. Nobody wants to see that fight. You're selling the Munguia fight on Mexico versus Mexico, but that ain't the Mexican you're supposed to be fighting. Please don't fight Berlanga. Berlanga's not good. Fight the one is whooping ass. Don't fight the one that you're naturally bigger than and that's clearly not ready for this step. And watch, don't fuck around and lose. He shouldn't. Like Jaime Munguia has so many deficiencies in this game. Like he should beat up. He might stop Jaime Munguia.
Yeah, Jaime Munguia. Again, we just saw Jaime Munguia get into a war against a way lesser fighter.
Yeah.
And Munguia almost got stopped like four times that.
He went through the ringer in that fight.
Yeah, he had to dig deep. So it's one of those where I don't know what Canelo's looking for per se. And in this, like, what is it going to give him? What is he going to gain from this outside of a paycheck? But his biggest thing was he's not just in it for a paycheck. That's what he's always said.
Big fat lie. Big fat lie, man.
Everybody's got a price. He's $4 million man right now.
Yeah.
Because there's no other reason. Like, no one can find another reason for him to have this fight.
I hate it.
Outside of a paycheck. But on the other side, it's a great fight for Munguia.
I mean, look, I ain't mad at Munguia. Like, he'd be dumb to not take the fight. And Golden Man Oscar is fucking, he's going to be in the hills partying. Because, bruh, everybody was like, when are you going to cash out on Munguia? Like, the Dennis Hogan fight. We were like, he ain't going to be here for a long time. And Oscar held out hope. He's going to fight Canelo one day. And everybody was like, get the fuck out of here. And then he lands the Canelo fight that he's going to cash out. Oh, this is a dream come true for Oscar De La Hoya. Oscar won. He won.
Yep.
He got his man a fight that he didn't deserve. He fucking won against his arch nemesis. Canelo don't like Oscar.
That build is going to be great because they're forced to be around each other.
Bruh, Oscar won. Like, it almost sounds, this is how it sounds to me.
Yes.
It's like you were so scared to fight David Benavidez, you went running back to your sworn enemy for a fight. Are you going to get that man paid? All right.
It's better than losing and potentially getting knocked out.
I mean, look, man, there's a lot of people think Canelo could beat Benavidez. I think Benavidez will win, but it's not like a landslide that everybody thinks Benavidez would beat Canelo. This is what I don't understand. Unless Eddie Reynoso was like, you're not fighting that dude because he's way too busy for you. He's way too busy. Like, you can't deal with that for 12 rounds. That's the only way I can see it. But if I'm Canelo, like, just stop lying to me. Just say I want money fights. Stop lying to me, bro.
But I think if the money was greater, then maybe he'll take the harder fights.
Yo, David Benavidez went on the record and said, I was willing to take $5 million if Canelo's like 35.
I'm not sure 35 is enough for Canelo to risk it.
He's going to make the same money against Munguia. His purse is his purse. The thing is, how much do you want to split? Benavidez was taking the base, the bottom, because all he wanted to do was fight Canelo.
Beat him. Yeah.
Like, he was like, cool.
He's going to beat him if they fight. Just because there's so much angst.
Yeah. Like, David is convinced this man doesn't want to fight him now. Because it's like, yo, they said, we get a lion's share of the money. I said, okay, as long as I get the fight.
Yep.
He's like, $5 million is still a lot of money. And they were like, we'll get back to you. Canelo's like, call Jaime Munguia. This motherfucker's crazy. He going to fight me for $5 million.
Try to call his bluff on it.
Yeah. And now it looks crazy, man. And I've liked Canelo, but this is a duck.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, Ryan Garcia's not ducking anyone besides some conspiracy people who tied him up in the wooden forest. I don't know. God, man. Ryan Garcia, we're talking about good old Oscar De La Hoya, gets Ivan Munguia this fight. Kudos. Pat on the back. He is not doing right by Ryan Garcia. The past week of Ryan Garcia's life is the most troubling shit I've seen in boxing, which is saying something, since Tyson before the Lennox fight.
I mean, yeah, Tyson bit Lennox Lewis's leg.
And he was just, he was off his fucking rocker, that whole fight built.
Fortunately, there was no social media, because who knows what Mike Tyson would have been posting at that time.
Crazy. So before then, that's the last time where I'm like, ooh, yeah, this guy's not, it's not all there. There was no chance Tyson was winning that in my mind. And I was young, and I knew, like, man, it's not great. I have the same feeling about Ryan. It wasn't even going to be a 50-50 fight if Ryan was perfectly of sane mind and body.
Nope.
Now, I'm not giving Ryan 10% chance to win this fight.
Nah, man. Like I said, the day, again, I was one of the first two people that Ryan talked to the day the fight was announced. And I said it, I was like, I've never seen Ryan like this. Yep. He ain't right. Something ain't right. And, you know, in my interview, I was just like, all right, he's just trying to sell it. Like, he's, but I was like, man, he got real jumpy. His legs were real jumpy. Like, he was, I had never seen him like that. But I just chalked it up, like, maybe it's animosity. But then I started watching all the other interviews, and I was like, nah, something wrong. Something ain't right.
He's talking a lot of shit where he doesn't really talk like that. And then now all the conspiracy theory weird shit.
Yeah, like, they took my phone.
Who's
they?
They
locked my cards up. Oh, motherfucker, I don't know.
Who's they?
Somebody needs to use the conservative shit at this point. But the what Oscar has done, where he's done right, is Golden Boy, for a lot of people, was almost a dead stable at one point a couple of years ago. It was like, oh, they can't get any fights. They have no fighters. What are you going to do with a Virgil Ortiz? What are you going to do with a Jaime Munguia? What are you going to do with a Ryan Garcia? He has leased them out and gotten huge paydays. Uh-huh. As a promoter, he's doing his job. But if you care about Ryan Garcia, he shouldn't be fighting April 20th. There's no way in hell I would send that man out to the ring. Not like this. I don't care about that bullshit contract he signed on social media talking about, I'm just going to drink wine. What the fuck are we doing? There's no way that you could do that against, again, when I did a documentary on Zab Judah, and Zab was like, yo, there would be fights and I'd have Grey Goose in my system and I had to fight. But who are you fighting, Zab? Oh, I wasn't fighting great people, right? I wasn't the underdog. I was the favorite. This is when Zab was at the peak of his powers and just caught up with him in the Katsuzu fight and he got smoked in the chicken dance. But Ryan is fighting one of the best opponents and an arch nemesis that knows him backwards and forwards for their whole lives. In the biggest fight now, this do or die for Ryan Garcia. I just can't understand how anybody would let that man walk into the ring with Devin Haney, who is going to try to kill him. He's going to try to kill Ryan. Like, there just ain't no way. There ain't no way. Ain't no way I'm sending Ryan out there.
He does kill Ryan. Like, at this point, he has nothing to lose. Like, Haney doesn't have to be timid in this fight. And Ryan hasn't been working as hard. Ryan said he was drinking and smoking. Like, his body's not ready for a high-level championship-caliber fight. It's not. And Devin Haney needs to capitalize on that. And it has to be more vicious than what Tank made it look like. Yeah. At this point is, how do I get him out of here? I need to Francis Ngannou him.
I don't even know. I think, because Ryan, I mean, Devin ain't even that kind of a puncher. I think it'd be more embarrassing if you beat the shit out of him and made his corner throw in the towel. Like, make him turn his back. Drop him a couple times, right? But Devin doesn't really have that one hitter quitter. But if you just start blood, because he was styling on Kambosos in the second fight, right?
Yeah.
But if he was styling, on Regis Prograis. But if he sits down on those punches and just embarrasses that man, that's more satisfying than a one punch knockout, because you just bludgeoned somebody to the finish. Because they can't say, because even Ryan now is like saying, "Hey, got me with a good punch."
Yeah.
Devin ain't gonna get you with a good punch. He's gonna get you out of there
with a lot of punches. He's
yeah.
It'll be the closest Ryan will have to get to quitting.
Yeah.
Because he'll have to say, like, I don't have it. Because the preparation is going to dictate that. He's going to be like, yo, throw in the towel. He might quit on the stool between rounds.
I don't think Ryan will quit. I think his dad might.
All no mas situation. No,
his dad or his mom might run up on the ring.
Someone's going to be like, yo, are you here? Do you want to keep going? He's going to say, no. Man. No, I don't. And he'll cry. And it will be the biggest viral fucking moment in boxing.
Oh, if this fight happens, this might be Ryan Garcia's last fight.
Yeah, it's hard not. People love a great comeback story. So if he went, for some reason, went to like get his mind together, or if it is substances, went to rehab, I don't know. If he did that and then documented his journey on his way back, and then came back and fought someone and like won by knockout, he get another big fight, because people love that journey, that story of a comeback. But it would take a lot. It'll be his last high level fight if he gets stopped.
Oh yeah,
this is it for the five princes. Or he's out of that. He's out of that before he got started.
He been gone. he's been out of that conversation.
He had a chance.
He did.
If you wanted to fight someone, you could fight Devin. And if he had a puncher's chance against Devin and he won, he's right in the mix and he's talented. He's beat a lot of guys under that level. And like Luke Campbell wasn't a bum, right? Like he's beat people who aren't bums. It's just you have to be one of these guys who are really, really fucking good.
Yeah.
And I don't think he can. The way he is now, he can't. He's like, he wasn't like this in the Tank fight. Tank would have killed him.
Yeah. No, Tank would have murdered him. Like, yeah. he would have absolutely decimated him. But Ryan, they got to do something about Ryan.
It might be over. We say this all the time about Tio, where it's just like, I don't know. Like, Tio needs to get right, or it could be downhill. It might be the end. Ryan's 18 levels above Tio, and Tio believes some weird shit.
Yeah, I mean, Tio's like, it's a different level of nuts with Ryan, because he didn't fight because of mental health issues and he took some time off. But Ryan has lived his entire life on social media.
Yep.
Where everything he does, he has to show the world. The women he dates, his kids, all that shit. He can't hide. He doesn't know how. He doesn't know how to live. And there is no such thing as privacy with Ryan Garcia. So his meltdown is completely public. And there's no sabbatical from social media for him. And he needs it. It's a bad, like, this might be the worst drug than any drug that he's taken. The inability to stay out of the public eye. It's going to cost him, because Devin's here to fight. He don't want to hear about your Bohemian Rhapsody or whatever, Bohemian Grove, like, conspiracy theories.
I don't even know what that shit was until this week.
Like, he ain't trying to hear about you watching kids getting raped. Like, he ain't trying to hear that shit.
Nah, this dude is in the deep interwebs.
And like, yo, and the word, and it was just, and I know it's bad, because I mean, look, I don't know what everybody makes of Bill Haney right now, but Bill's just been on a rampage lately. So I'm just trash him and Adrian Broner going at it. Adrian's nuts, by the way.
Adrian's like, fuck it, I'll step in. And I'm kind of like, I want to see that.
I mean, Devin will beat the brakes off Adrian.
I'd rather see that than him fight whatever the hell Ryan Garcia is right now.
I agree. But, you know, Bill's been on this rampage, but it feels like Devin's at the point where him and his dad feel so disrespected by the community that they're out to prove something, right? And nothing was more disrespectful than Ryan leaking that sparring footage of him and Gervonta when Devin was 17 years old. And they try to use it like, look, this is what happened to you 8 years ago against a man who was Gervonta. And the worst part about it is they lied. Devin ended up, that was doghouse night at the Mayweather gym.
Yeah.
If anybody knows Mayweather Boxing Club, late at night, they fight for like 12-minute rounds. It's obscene. And you make
different
like,
guy. Shuttling them in.
They run them in there. And if you can survive, I've heard you get a bag. And Devin survived and got a bag. And they're framing this as, look what Gervonta did to you. But that was a kid. Like, that was a young Devin. Like, it didn't work the way that you wanted it to work. Adrian Broner couldn't even fix his mouth to say what really happened to Bill when Bill called him out on it. It's like, what really happened, Adrian? I had to save your son. What really happened, Adrian? And then the whole, I were you over your stuff? Like, that shit was crazy. But they feel so disrespected by everybody. They are going to try to kill. And I say they because Bill's his father. They are going to try to kill Ryan Garcia. They don't give a fuck about his well-being. I talked to a well-known boxing promoter, and I won't say his name because I want to keep it off. But he was like, I wish Devin wouldn't fight him. I wish Devin would be like, I see you're going through all this, but I'm going to pull out. And my response was, Devin will never do that because people will call him a bitch.
Yeah.
He's going to try to kill that man.
And that's not his responsibility.
Yep. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. There's only like Oscar can save Ryan.
Who should save Ryan before Devin ever does.
Yep. Like, it's not on Devin.
No, it's not my job to save this kid.
It's like, hey, the motherfucker.
He may feel bad. Yep. That's something you say after the fight. Yo, listen, I had a job to do, and I came out here and whooped his ass, and I'm sorry, because I know he was going through a lot of shit. Like, I really didn't even want to beat him like this, but I'm a professional. But I wish they would have saved him from himself.
Yeah.
Like, and you can say that after the fight and get the same clout.
Yep.
But I had to beat his ass. They sent him in here. I had to beat his ass. But I feel bad about it now.
Said my hair was nappy. Called my dad a pimp. I had to beat his ass. Lessons had to be learned that night.
I had to do it for Oakland. I'm just upset that this fight is all the way in New York.
I know. I hate that it's in Brooklyn.
It's going to be a big fight. And it's going to do numbers. Even with this conspiracy shit, it's going to do numbers.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully. And I don't even know if it's hopefully. For the sake of the fight, if they want to keep this fight going, if Ryan could just stay his ass off of social media for the next 1 month and 12 days, a lot of this stuff may go away.
Yeah. Even if Ryan's not talking about it anymore, he released the training video today.
I don't know if Golden Boy is going to let that man do interviews. I don't know if they're.
Over for that. Because you can't control what the man's saying. It's over for that.
It's just hard because you got to sell the fight. Like, you still got to sell the fight. So you usually need him to do interviews because he is the draw. Like, he is the draw. People want to see Ryan fight, but he's his own worst enemy. But if they keep him in check, by this time next month, we'll just be looking at the fight. Like, only the hardcores that follow this would be like, hey, man, he still shouldn't be fighting. Just because he's not doing it on social media, it ain't mean he's nuts at home, right? Like, he's nuts somewhere, just not on social media. But I guess maybe we'll find a way to get to this fight. I don't see any way in hell that Ryan wins this fight. I just don't. I think it's going to be bad. One-way traffic.
I just hope that the kid figures his life out after this. Because, I mean, you talked to Ryan for a long time.
I have.
I've interviewed Ryan several times. Like, he was a cool kid. Like, he was a nice kid, everything. Like, as just a person, I wish well for him. And it's sad to see. It really is. But if no one's going to help him, like, it is what it is. But it's sad to see because he's been well-adjusted and honest and talked about all these mental health issues and how he had to step away to overcome them. He's been a voice and advocate for those things. And it's a fight that people fight all the time. So if he slipped back into that and worse, fighting is not the place for him, right?
Yo, you know it's bad when Andrew Tate's like, hey, man, slow down.
Yo, Andrew Tate was making sense. I was like, what? Oh, yeah. Now you're on the wrong side of things.
Yeah. Andrew Tate's over here making sense? We gotta figure this out.
It's all bad. So we'll see. Hopefully I can't even say hopefully we get to fight week. I kind of hope we don't. Like, but we'll see how this develops and goes forth. I feel like next week we have another big fight in boxing. I just don't know what it is.
Next week, I don't know what we got.
I don't know either. I because based on the boxing schedule.
I don't think we have. I mean, I'm not looking at the schedule, but Keith Thurman and Tim Zhu is at the end of the month, and we got.
That's your Vegas, right?
Yep. So we got Tim Zhu and Keith Thurman and Rolly Romero and Isak Cruz on March 30th, WrestleMania the following week, UFC 300 the week after that.
Nothing crazy next week. William Cepeda is fighting here in Vegas.
Yeah, I'm not going.
Not going to that. Callum Walsh is fighting, and they promote the hell out of that. So it must be, Callum Walsh is fighting in New York. It must be St. Paddy's Day next week.
Is it? I was thinking about going to get some beer. That's it.
Yeah, green beer, baby.
Yes, green man. Beer. Car bombs. Let's go.
Car bombs. We are on it.
Why do they call them car bombs? It feels like it's wrong.
Yeah,
it's a terrorist drink.
Yeah. No, I feel like that's like old school gangs in New York shit.
Yeah,
where like the Irish like mobs in New York would just come through.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable calling it. I'm gonna still drink it though, but whatever.
Yeah,
I'll call it something else.
It's because it's on the timer. It makes sense. Once you drop it, you're on the clock. Like, I get it. It's like a car bomb. But yeah, no, I'm pretty sure. It's a horrible racial undertone there. But no, it's cool. We'll be back next week. Another dope Patreon episode dropping next week as well. We'll record on Tuesday and Thursday now that I'm settled into my job. And everything is going well there. So we appreciate you all. Thank you for listening to all of these episodes, even though we're dropping them damn near over the weekend when the events are happening. You guys are the best. Appreciate it. And of course, we still got to do a wrestling episode. Our wrestling episode next week is going to be dope because we got to talk about AEW still, and then WWE is coming into their own, and there's so much to pack in to next week. Shit, Okada debut. So we got to talk about a ton next week in pro wrestling. So we'll do that. Don't worry. You guys have a packed wrestling show next week. We appreciate you all. For myself, the old man Andreas Hell. Till next time, we're out.
Peace.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.